Janice and Jamar. Toronto's morning show.
If that song did not rock the world when it came out, every dude was like, I ain't no scrub. I'm going to scrub. TLC, Shaggy, and Vogue. Sean Kingston, who's like 20 years younger than all of them. June 15th, tickets on sale right now. I'll be talking to a couple of the stars from that show in the days to come. Can't wait to have those conversations. But speaking of scrubs, let's talk about the scrubs that were all in your face yesterday, Azalea. She was telling me off the air. And this is a common problem with ladies. It like kind of runs... Like, where's the line between, like, harassment and just general, you know, I'm just happy that guys want to get my attention. Where's that line?
You know, I think if you see a woman on a mission, you know, headphones are in, they're walking, they're doing their thing, I think that that is not the time to try to stop them and ask them their name.
So yesterday you were telling me you went on this really, what you call the hot girl walk.
Yes, I went on a hot girl walk.
And during your hot girl walk, you heard faint sounds through your AirPods. What was there? Were those?
Right. So it was just, you know, there was only three guys that stopped me. and I walked 15,000 steps. So this was a lot of walking.
Nice walk, yeah.
And they, it was just like, excuse me, excuse me. And then I would take out my AirPod and look back and look down because I'm like, did I drop something? Like, what's happening? And then I'd be like, yeah. Like, what do you want? And then, oh, what's your name?
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't talk. I can't talk.
How it's done.
I'm listening to a podcast. I can't talk to you right now. And they were respectful. They didn't keep it going.
Okay.
I think the first guy, he kept talking after I put my headphones back in.
Yeah.
But I already blocked him out.
This is the issue for women across the world. Some women really, really can't stand like this moment where men are trying to get their attention.
Right.
But sometimes, I mean, are you open
no.
to talking?
Don't no, talk
okay,
to me.
Okay.
Do not talk to me.
Don't talk
to me. And like I said, there was no way that I looked approachable. That I could not have.
What are the rules for engagement? Like, when is the right time to shoot your shot if a guy is trying to, you know, actually get a
You know what?
Moment?
I think these guys need to do, like, some introspective work and be like, would I, talking to this girl right now, actually have a chance? If the answer, you know, is a no. Just don't do it.
Wow, but you could be the one. Can you imagine if you were the one? How do you like that? But I get it. Sometimes you don't want to
be
left alone.
I may be the one, but you're not the one.
You're not the one. Exactly. No scrubs, she says. All right. Leave them girls alone, guys. Chill, relax. I know it's that time of year, but take it down a notch.
Simmer down.
Simmer down. Simmer down.
With Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
You are going to love this study that I found because it encourages snacking. And at one point you're like, oh, I've got to cut the snacks. But psychologists are weighing in and saying snacking is good, but not necessarily snacks you think I'm talking about. This is called joy snacking. Joy snacking. This is how they describe it. Basically, throughout your day, you do little things that make you happy, little things that bring you immense joy. And it's not just the fact that it tastes good, feels good, smells good, but it actually releases a little dopamine in your brain. And it gives you a sense of immense joy and passion when you do these things. I'll describe a couple things that could be like a joy snack. If you're walking through, yesterday you said you took a walk, Azalea.
Yes.
And you're walking through the park and you see a flower. You know that moment where you actually, look, she even smiled when
yeah.
I said flower. When you stop and take a picture of a flower.
Right.
And then look at it at your phone and look at the flower, maybe even take a smell of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, that smells really good. That is a joy snack.
Right.
And it is good for your brain when you do that.
Yeah, I love that. I had a bunch of those moments yesterday.
Exactly. Now, were you listening to any music yesterday on your walk?
I was not. I was listening to a podcast, but she was dropping gems.
Okay, great. Were there any funny moments in the podcast?
Yeah.
Those are joy snacks.
Okay.
Those little moments where you laugh and you say, wow, that's kind of, and you might even by yourself, chuckling to yourself, that is a joy snack. Let's talk about, what if you, have a favorite song, Simone?
Yeah.
Do you have a playlist?
Yesterday I was in a Cypress Hill kind of mood. So I was in one of those kind of
insane in the membrane.
Yes.
Going insane. Got no brain. Yes, that is a great song.
Yeah.
Or even Jump Around. No, that's House of Pain. Excuse me. But when you hear those songs, you get a smile on your face, right?
Of course. Just sunshine flows through the body.
Yeah, exactly. Those are joy snacks. Now, according to this study I'm looking at, they're saying you have to find, and not just 4 days a week, 5 days a week, but every day in your life, life. You have to find a little source of joy, a little burst, and soak it in, because it gives you an emotional response, pleasant sensations, and it's actually good for your mental health. So I'm encouraging everybody right now, if you can't name two things yesterday that gave you joy, you're probably not having enough joy snacks in your life. And I asked everybody to text 104536. Text something, two things that gave you joy yesterday. And those texts came in a little slow. So I feel like we could all do a little homework. And this is a time where we're actually encouraging to snack. Might not be food. It could be food as well, too. From what I'm reading, if you get a bite of a chocolate chip cookie. You
right.
know that first, if I describe your favorite chocolate chip cookie to you, we can all taste it. You take that first bite, kind of crunchy around the rim, soft in the middle. The chocolate chip kind of melts on your tongue. Doesn't that give you joy when you think about it?
Right. And somebody here has actually said they called in sick to work yesterday, and they ended up getting a cotton candy blizzard at Dairy Queen. And that just made their day.
See, well, that is actually a physical, real snack, but it is a joy snack nonetheless. So everyone should be able to mention two things, I think, that gave you joy each day. And that's how you should really play life. They call them joy snacks. So let's start the study now. What joy snacks did you have yesterday? Text 104536.
Time to wake up. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
In the world of entertainment, what's happening?
Well, Elizabeth Olsen, who we know is the younger sister to Mary-Kate and Ashley, she's doing so many amazing things. She's in the Marvel universe as, who is she in the Marvel universe? Black Widow?
Yes.
Is that who she is?
Yeah.
Look at me.
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch. Sorry.
Damn, you brought me up and took me down.
Sorry.
Okay, so she also is doing a new series called Love and Death on HBO, which was amazing. You got to watch it. That series blew my mind. But she actually recently said in an interview that she doesn't think any newcomers that are coming to Marvel and signing on for movies should sign multi-year contracts.
That sounds wild to me, because if any...
Or a multi-deal.
If Marvel asked me to clean toilets at their studio, I would do that for 50 years on paper. Like, let me...
No, I get it. I would think the exact same thing. But she's saying, based on her experience, that if you kind of do, you know, one role and you're like, wow, this was so much fun. This is the most fun I've ever had. I love this character. And you only signed on for that 1 year or that one deal. Now you have more control over it, coming back, adding more money to the role.
Got it.
Things like that.
Got it.
If you sign on for a 10-year deal, they could keep it $1 million.
Right. So you lock in at a low price, and then you know, your character ends up taking off and you're still getting paid that low price.
Right.
I get it.
But that's what she's saying. She's saying, don't tell them, though, that I'm giving you this advice, but...
Well, everyone knows the...
Everyone knows now.
...strategy now. So yesterday, a big talk about superheroes. Superhero Kyle Lowry helped propel the Miami Heat to the conference finals, beating the Celtics yesterday.
Kyle.
I know. It's. I mean, a lot of people are saying it's a win for Toronto and a win for Canada because, you know, Kyle Lowry is one of our epic Raptor alums.
He's back in the championship.
Back in the championship, essentially looking for another ring, this time with the Heat and Jimmy Butler, who looked really, really good yesterday. But I don't know. Anything the Miami Heat do, I kind of have a... I have a chip on my shoulder off of it, just because, you know, they ran through the East and did their thing, so.
Is this background music the Heat's music?
No, this is the NBA music.
Oh,
no,
SportsCenter.
ESPN.
Gotcha.
That's that ESPN stuff, so.
I was going to say, South Florida. They got the NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals going there, NBA Finals.
I don't know what's in the water in South Florida right now, but they don't deserve all of the sports greatness. It's really, really bothering me. But anyhow, that's what happened. Heat make it through in 7, going up against the Denver Nuggets.
And I mean, I have a sports tidbit also.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Nick Nurse, he is now going to be the coach of the 76ers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a pretty good role.
Yeah, it's great for him. He picked up a gig really, really quickly after.
And I would say maybe the 76ers is better than the Boston Celtics, is that where he was going to go, right?
Possibly.
So he probably thought that was a major L, and then he got something better.
I mean, where would you rather live, Philly or Boston? Cheese steaks or beans? I don't know.
Anyway, not beans.
Yeah, shout out to Nick Nurse getting a gig very, very quickly. We will miss you, sir.
Do it. What's trending in Toronto with Azalea Hart? Let me know.
Have you guys been wondering what Bruno Mars has been up to?
Yeah. Yeah.
He made a dream come true of his recently. And to be honest, a kind of a dream of mine too. He opened a rum bar on the beach in Hawaii.
Ooh, that's nice.
Right?
That's nice.
It's at the Fairmont Orchid, so it's not like a little shack on the beach. But it was inspired by his own like lived experience growing up in Hawaii and performing at places like this. And he said, you know, as a kid, he would look out into the crowd, into the audience, and he always sees people with these really beautiful cocktails. And, you know, as a kid, he said he never took it in that it's rum. He didn't know what it was. They were just beautiful drinks. So imagine like a Mai Tai or a Pina Colada or a Blue Hawaiian, those type of drinks. So he has 5 signature cocktails at his rum bar. Mojito Royale, the Cold Bruno, the Uptown Punch, the Hollywood Colada, and the Weekend at Bruno's. And all of them are made with his own rum, the Selva Ray rum. And that's the name of the spot as well.
Have you had his rum yet?
I haven't.
Selva Ray rum?
But I would love to try it because he said that, you know, he didn't want a rum that was going to be super, super sugary. Okay. And as you know, I mean, rum is made of sugar.
Right.
So I think he said his focus was on the cocktails. So the rum could be natural cane sugar, but the cocktails will have less sugar.
Yeah, 2 things that Hawaii does really well, rum bars and food trucks. Like they've got...
Oh, I bet.
They got that lock. Like all those beaches.
Yeah.
Rum bars and food trucks. Little shrimp roll and stuff like that.
Oh, well, he said his favorite, if you're going to go and grab a shrimp roll and a cocktail from Bruno Mars, he said his favorite is the Hollywood Colada. And this is what I think when I think Hawaii. Fresh pineapple juice, fresh coconut water, and then the Selva Ray coconut rum. And I just feel like fresh pineapple juice in Hawaii is just nuts.
Sounds like heaven. It really does.
Sounds like heaven. I'm sold. You know who else came out with some alcohol? Steph Curry, who you saw this weekend.
Yeah.
He came out with a bourbon whiskey called Gentleman's Cut Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. He said that he helped create and craft it, and it has notes of cinnamon, seared caramel, and sweet toasted chestnut.
Oh, okay.
So those are some good flavors going on. And Millie Bobby Brown from 11 from Stranger Things just launched a line of coffee. So it's called, I know, you're like, alcohol. She's not even legal in the States.
right. Fair enough.
So it's called Florence by Mills. And I feel like her launching Eggos or something on brand with Stranger Things would have been the smart move.
Wouldn't it?
Because where does the coffee come in? I don't...
Like an 80s Eggo throwback waffle. That would have been perfect.
So I don't get the coffee thing.
Or even a cereal, like a Saturday morning cereal.
Right.
That would have been cool.
So I don't know if she's trying to come across, you know, grown. She's engaged now. But anyway, she said it's going to be 2 signature coffee blends, a cold brew concentrate, and some delicious sounding syrups, a honeycomb creme brulee, and English toffee. But she said during the launch that she's been passionate about coffee for as long as she can remember, which she's only 19, so how long? But she said it got her through long days on set, which still make me side-eye.
Can you imagine
because
that?
Because she was 11 when that show started.
At that age.
I mean, the girl says she's passionate about coffee. She might be passionate about the paycheck. But I can't imagine the paycheck.
What age did you start drinking coffee?
I want to say I first tasted the ice cap from Tim Hortons. I first tasted that maybe when I was 12. But I had a sip of my dad's.
That sounds a little young to me.
It was young.
Yeah.
But I didn't start drinking coffee until university.
That's a question I'm asking for everyone listening right now. What age do you let your child start drinking coffee?
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's not a...
When did you start, Simone? Because you drink your coffee black. Oh, like, you're a pro.
Engraved in my background. It was like, I swear, I was probably
Italian.
Like 6 or 7, like had my first little like taste of espresso.
Is that the Italian thing?
I don't think it's the Italian thing. I think it's my parents are just avid coffee drinkers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jamaicans are very coffee-y. My mom's been drinking coffee like ever since I can remember.
Yeah, well, you guys have Blue Mountain coffee, right?
Yeah, but I was never like, I don't know, the smell.
Oh, but the smell is like the good part.
I have a love-hate thing with coffee. I really do. But interesting. What age should kids start drinking coffee? Or if they do at all?
If they do. Mm. I'm going to say after high school is when you should.
Oh, gosh. Starbucks is full of high school kids now.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is wild. Anyway.
That's what's trending.
Thank you.
In the morning. Back to the morning show with Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Yesterday, I had lunch at El Katrin, you know, that place in the distillery. over, like distillery, Mexican food.
Yeah, it has really beautiful kind of chandeliers.
Yeah, it was incredible, man. Good drinks. Had tacos a day early because today is Taco Tuesday. But speaking of Taco Tuesday, let me tell you the story about Taco Bell. They're getting ready to head to court to file because they want the name Taco Tuesday. And they want it back from a chain I've never heard of before, but I guess because I'm not in this part of the country so much. Taco John's, very popular in the Midwest, like Wyoming, somewhere in like the mid, like mountainous region of the United States. This is Taco Bell's main competitor, Taco John's. And they're saying that in 1989, they actually started the term Taco Tuesday. That we all now say. I mean,
everybody says that.
Wherever you go around this place, you know, Taco Tuesday, everyone says that at home. People, I mean, I know people, friends of mine who do it with their kids. They go, hey, it's Tuesday. What are we doing? Taco Tuesday.
Right.
You probably do it the same. Taco John's say they started it. Taco Bell wants it back. And the case they're making is they're saying, what if someone back in the day coined the word brunch? It is so widespread used now that you can't say it's yours anymore. It's all of ours now. Can you imagine if a restaurant said that they had the monopoly on the word brunch and any word, any restaurant that used it would have to pay them? Yeah, brunch is too popular now. So that's what's happening. Taco John's is going to file a petition. They have 40 days to do so. But the ruling on this case may not happen for years. But there is a case because at this point they're saying Taco Tuesday is so popular that it might not be able to be owned by any one restaurant.
I feel like I'm going to pay attention now when I go to Mexican restaurants. I'm going to see, do they say on their menu Taco Tuesday?
Right, right. Taco Tuesday.
I'm intrigued.
So next time you use that phrase, be careful. Someone might actually own it or not. I don't know.
Sticky.
Situation.
Oh, no.
You know how sticky it gets.
Real sticky, icky, icky.
This one's been highly discussed, and I definitely wanted to bring it to the show so we could really figure out where we as a chum family and friends group are on this. Read the situation, please.
Okay. So this went super viral. Everybody knows this. So my husband loves to travel and always either pays for or gets an upgrade into the first class cabin. Hmm. When we travel together with our children, he buys himself a ticket in first class and puts us in economy or economy plus. He even did this recently on an overnight flight to Paris. He justifies flying alone in first class because of the cost and the fact that our kids, 12 and 16, might feel alone if I were to travel in first with him and leave them in the rear cabin. I feel that this is unfair. I don't think our kids would mind if they were in economy plus and my husband and I sat together in first class. Is that unfair for me to want? My husband has suggested traveling alone on a different flight ahead of us.
Whoa.
So that we don't feel badly about the disparity. But this does not really address or solve the problem of the inherent selfishness in his thinking. Am I wrong? We are happy to travel and love going places together, but it is still very strange.
So the question essentially is he wrong for traveling first class and leaving them to the back of the plane, the entire family, rather than bringing her into first class with him?
Right.
Leaving the kids behind. Or does he have some kind of grounds here? He's even suggesting that he just goes on a whole different flight than them. I don't know about this. This is, I can't even picture myself making that suggestion.
He's like, I don't want you to feel bad about this, honey. I will take another flight.
<That's>
so you don't have to see it.
Now, Simone, our producer here, before I throw you into the woods here.
Yep.
Let me know, where's the error of my thinking? Because you seem to think that he has a little squeak of a case here. Because I don't at all.
If there's some sort of medical reason that he needs the extra leg room or comfort.
Maybe he's really tall.
Where you went with it?
That's where I'm going with it.
He's got a medical condition where he needs the champagne immediately when he gets to the plane. Or is this
he needs the better food.
Right. This is my, look, I kind of have this situation in my household right now. I have Nexus.
Okay.
Which allows you to go through like expedited screenings and all that stuff. My partner, my little boy, obviously they don't have Nexus.
Right.
So anytime we fly together, I mean, when I fly by myself, which is pretty often, phew, I'm breezing right to the airport. It is the greatest experience.
But if not, you're standing in the line with everybody else.
That long customs line leaving Pearson, which is the worst.
Wait, you have the card still with the family. You don't cut ahead.
And let me tell you something. When I print my boarding passes, it says, what do you call it? It says, what is it, expedited or whatever thing up there. It is. It's a pre-check. It says it on there.
You better not. You better wait.
See what I'm saying?
I think you're missing the opportunity. Take advantage of that.
And don't think I'm not hot when I'm standing in that that customs line watching everyone breeze through global.
Well, would you rather be hot or would you rather deal with the...
My point exactly.
Right.
And the other thing I got, I mean, well, anyway, I got a lot to say about this, but what do you have to say about this? Is the guy okay on the grounds that he wants to fly first class by himself, or should he be bringing the wife and maybe the kids up the first class along with him? I don't know. I don't even know why there's a question here, but apparently there's an error in my thinking, according to our producer. Let's talk next after Ed on Chum.
Sticky
situation.
Oh, no.
You know how sticky it gets.
Real sticky.
Can you imagine you show up to Pearson, you're boarding a flight, and you see a lovely family, a wife, a husband, two kids, walking onto a plane, backpacks, carry-ons, smiles, and you see them boarding the plane, walking through the jetway, and then they get into the cabin, and then the husband says, all right, guys, enjoy the flight. He sits down in first class, and then the rest proceed to walk to the back of the plane. Sounds a little wild, in my opinion. I would think, well, listen, not all the time if you get an upgrade are there many seats available. Sometimes it's only one seat available, so one person gets the upgrade. But is it still right? I don't know. I'm going to say no, I don't think it's right.
I mean, the scenario that we set off the air just now, it's like they're at the checkout, they're at the check-in.
Yeah.
They're like, sorry, ma'am, do you have an upgrade? Yeah, sir, we have one. Okay, I'll take it.
Husband goes, yeah, that's me.
Just for me.
Is there any other case for this guy? Is anyone here making a case for why he should sit first class and his family not? Texting wise?
Maybe he had a rough childhood. Oh, no. Okay.
Rub that. I don't want to give him that much.
Okay. Well, we have a texter that says, I'm very tall and I don't fit in economy seats. The rest of my family is average height with no seat problems. So this is okay if it's a size thing. No other valid reasons.
Did she mention in the letter that her husband was a 7-footer?
She did not.
Okay.
He's probably short. He gives short man energy to me.
I can't disagree with you here. Here's the thing, too, that I got to put in there. You know, when you go on vacations with your family, it really is about the family experience. It's about being together, the jokes you crack while you're flying together, you know, the little comments we make while we're walking through the jetway. It's about the experience. So any moment where we're separated for that, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Right.
I don't know.
Like, wouldn't you want to enjoy first class with your wife?
Yeah.
No, the kids are in economy, or even if you and your wife are in economy plus, because that's still a very premium experience.
Sure. How old were these kids?
12 and 16.
Oh, they can sit in the economy by themselves. Yeah. Don't steal them, right?
No one's going to take them.
No one's stealing 16-year-olds, right?
That's it.
Right.
They're fine. They would have been perfectly fine sitting in the back if Kevin McAllister could fly from Chicago to New York by himself.
These kids can ride by themselves.
These kids are fine.
But I'm going to say that this guy is the ultimate jerk, because at the end of the day, a family is supposed to be a unit. And what the unit doesn't do is watch one member enjoying premium experiences and all the luxuries while we sit and eat the crackers in the back.
Some people are texting and they're saying maybe it's his birthday and this isn't the norm. No, this is the norm. This is why it's an issue. Mm. This is why it's today's sticky situation.
Okay, well, producer Simone, love you, man. But even though we disagree on this, don't do this.
Okay. I just want to throw this out there. One last thing.
Sure.
I notice a lot of in the comment sections, everyone's saying calling for a divorce right away. I think we're overreacting just a little bit.
He's been called a cheater, a liar, all this stuff.
Yeah.
We don't know that much.
We don't know all of that. He probably takes care of the family otherwise.
He probably takes care of both his families, right?
Ooh.
Joking. Anyway, I'm not calling for a divorce, but I am calling for a discussion with your husband. He needs to kind of change his heart on that one. Not a good look. All right. Well, that's the sticky situation. We put up on social media on, where did we put it? On Facebook?
It's on Facebook.
All right. Go to our Facebook page and comment. Let us know what you think the husband should do. Should he be riding first class by himself, or should he actually think of his family in their travel experience? And let us know how you feel.
When you wake up,
Toronto.
Wake up, baby.
It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
I wake up early every morning.
Wake up. On Chum.
I don't know. The dad that we were talking about earlier, the more I think about it, it's just like a red flag. Sounds very selfish, you know? Just leave your family in the back while you're cruising to first class.
I mean, it's kind of selfish.
It is a bit selfish, so that's a red flag for me. And we all know what red flags mean. Have you guys ever heard the term beige flag? Beige flag is a new term in dating. And it means that the person, if their dating profile has a beige flag on it, means basically you can assume that the person's kind of boring, uninteresting, and that the date may go nowhere if you go on a date with them. Let me read some of these beige flags to you, and you let me know if it sounds consistent.
Okay.
You listening too, you can let us know, text 104536, if these things on a dating profile probably are beige flags for you. If you look at a profile and all of their photos, none of them are actual photos framed properly or, you know, positioned properly with them as the subject. They're all selfies. If the person is very, very selfie-y, that's a beige flag. That means they're probably not a very cool person. Most likely really boring.
Yeah, that's a swipe left.
That's a swipe left.
That's a swipe
left. That checks out.
Too many selfies? No, thank you.
Right. Okay. All right.
Okay. Another beige flag, according to this dating site, McPhail. If their hobbies are very general, if they have hobbies that don't seem like hobbies at all, like under hobbies says taking naps, coffee, going out to eat, those aren't necessarily hobbies. Those are activities that you might like, but if that is your hobby, like your pastime, beige flag.
Ooh, I might be a walking beige flag. I love a nap. I love some coffee.
But that's not your hobby.
I love eating out.
That is not your hobby.
But you're not going to put that in your profile.
I'm not going to let you say that
all
in public.
Right, okay,
that is not
right.
Your hobby.
It is not my hobby.
You need to take that off your profile if they're
rollerblading.
Yes. There it is.
At least lie about it. That is not your hobby. Okay. How about this as a beige flag? If they make references in their dating profile to like mainstream sitcoms, so they're saying things like, oh, well, I'm looking for my Pam to my Jim. I'm looking for my Ben to my Leslie. I'm looking for my Monica to my Chandler.
Oh my goodness, corny.
Yeah, that's a little, you know. I'm looking for my Martin to my Gina. Like,
okay.
I don't think that's really how you would.
Maybe they're just trying to relate to somebody.
I love a good sitcom, but that's not the way to grab my attention.
Okay, all right.
Did anyone ever go, oh my gosh, you want me to be your Ben? To your Leslie? Of course, I'm the perfect person for you. I don't know if that's a selling point.
I think maybe Halloween's the only time that will be acceptable to bring that up to someone.
I want you to be my Mary Jane to your Peter Parker. Nah, I don't know about that. Another thing that they say is a beige flag, signs of a boring person on dating apps. If their fluent language or love language is listed as sarcasm. You see, this is someone trying to be funny, and that's right. Just like, okay, great, I get it. I'm fluent in sarcasm.
Right.
I'm fluent in irony.
Like, I speak two languages, English and sarcasm.
Yeah, that's
right. Okay.
That's not very fun. Does anybody listening to the show list as a plant parent? Meaning, I have kids. Yes, I have plant kids, plant babies. If you say you're a plant parent, you're waving a loud beige flag, according to this this thing. Plant parents should not be part of your dating profile. Text us at 104536 if these actually sound like dating beige flags to you, and if there are any other ones you can think of. Things that you would put in your dating profile that indicate a boring, uninteresting person.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
Talking about beige flags and why they should be avoided on your dating profile. Plant parent.
I know the plant parent thing is a little corny, but listen, making plants stay alive, helping them stay alive is rough. That's not easy work.
You're not making a better case for yourself.
It's not easy work. You're showing you're committed.
I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let you finish. But anyway, Another text says, pineapple on pizza. Listen, I'll upgrade that one to a red flag. Pineapple pizza is not my jam. Yeah. Okay. What's trending this morning, Azalea?
Coming up on trending, there's a new self-care trend. It's called bed rotting.
Bed rotting.
Yeah.
And that's self-care.
Self-care.
Bed rotting. Let's find out what that is.
Do it.
Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Azalea Hart?
Let me know, let me know.
You know, Taylor Swift actually came out with a new song over the weekend called You're Losing Me. And fans are thinking that this song has to do with her breakup from Joe Alwyn. So they're saying that they're putting this all together because of some lyrics in the song where she says, my heart won't start anymore for you because you're losing me. Then it said, I'm the best thing at this party and I wouldn't marry me either. A pathological people pleaser who only wanted you to see her.
Wow.
So
she's taking shots at herself and the relationship.
Right. So maybe she's blaming herself for why they...
She's trying to be self-aware a little bit, it sounds.
I think so.
Yeah.
So it seems like maybe the relationship was coming to an end for a while until we found out it was actually over.
Yeah, Anti-Hero is like a whole self-awareness like track. That whole song is just her like taking shots at herself.
Right. They were in a long-term relationship. So I think you, when you get to a point where you could finally kind of pinpoint what your issue is,
yeah,
you're kind of winning. And now I guess she's dating this guy, Matt Healy.
I know.
And they're going to see where that goes.
But that's kind of rough for Joe, too.
It is. Because he doesn't, he probably wasn't the issue. I mean, he wasn't the problem.
Maybe.
Taylor said, hi, it's me.
But then she went ahead and said that, like, it was the greatest moment of her life being in this new relationship. Can you imagine having one of your exes say that publicly?
He's problematic, Matty Healy, in his own.
So oh, I know.
This thing could explode on both of them. So it could be very entertaining to watch.
What's his issue? What are his things?
He's very outspoken and has very controversial
takes on things.
Takes on things, yeah.
Ooh, Taylor's not.
And he doubled down recently on his controversial takes.
Really? Yeah.
He said something along the lines of, like, if you wake up and you're thinking about me and what I said, then you have issues in your life.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, there's bigger problems out there.
That's great songwriter, but controversial.
That's not necessarily Bran Taylor.
No, he's not.
Mm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that actually plays out. He might just be the bad boy that she, you know, just craving a bad boy for a little while for the summer. So the new self-care trend is something called bed rotting. It doesn't have the most glamorous name, obviously, but I love the idea of this, and I do this in the winter. So it's basically when you spend a full day in bed, you become one with your duvet. You kind of just melt into it. You maybe throw on some mood lighting. You watch some TikTok. Maybe you binge a series of shows. Or you just sleep on and off.
At what point do you start to rot? I mean, you personally.
Oh, you're rotting. You're just in that bed rotting. This is why I don't like the term rotting. That's what turns you off of the thing. But
it's disgusting, Zombie.
It does sound disgusting, but you're just becoming one with the bed. The point of it is to be intentional about recharging your emotional and your mental batteries.
Okay.
So it's like you could lay in bed for as long as that takes for it to happen. And you're kind of doing this to end a busy week. You're not doing this to ignore responsibilities. You're not doing this to avoid people. You're doing this just for yourself. I just need to recharge. And then I'm going to get up and I'm going to go about and doing the rest of my things.
But I like how they make something that sounds very disgusting sound very healing.
Right.
Bed rotting is
it? I know. I don't know why they're calling it bed rotting.
So it should be called bed potato.
Maybe. Yeah, like a couch potato.
You want to be cool?
Like a couch potato.
Yeah.
Bed potato.
It's not as bad.
What would bed sores be? Like when you get bed sores, is it like if your partner kisses you on the forehead like while you're in bed? Rotting?
This is what I mean. Like the rotting term, I knew that was going to turn you off.
Yeah.
But when people ask you what you're doing, you don't have to say nothing. You could say, you know, I'm reviving myself in bed.
Can you imagine?
Rotting.
Your friend. Exactly. That's exactly it. Your friends call you up. Azalea, what are you doing this morning? Girl, I'm here rotting.
I suggest you get up, take a shower, and then get back into the bed.
Okay. I would never put the word rotting next to your name.
Right. Yeah. I don't like the... We'll think of a new name for this, but I like the idea.
Got it.
That's what's trending.
Thank you.
Wake up, Toronto. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Wake up.
On Chum.
Let's talk about finances and your relationship. Excuse me. For the couples or people in relationships, what was the biggest surprise that you found out about your partner's financial status? Did you ever find out that they owed an enormous amount of money to an institution or maybe to a person? Did you find out that their credit score was just horrible? Did you find out that they didn't make as much money as you thought they did? Or did you find out they were super rich and you're like, whoa, where'd all this money come from? What was the biggest surprise about your partner's financial life that you found out? Because I'm reading an article from a financial advisor and dating specialist. Her name is Dasha Kennedy. She says that couples should be having conversations about money and their credit score as early as their very first date. Now, I ask you, anyone in the room who's dating, did you have a conversation about credit score on that first date?
Absolutely not.
No way.
That's way too soon.
It's early, right?
Yeah.
We're still trying to find out your favorite color.
I know. It sounds... But
I don't know if you're going to be my Pam to my gym.
I see what you did there. But here's the deal. Finances could actually make or break a relationship, because a large percentage of relationships actually end because they find out they're financially incompatible. One person wants to move in this direction and do things. They realize, I don't have the person to do that with me. I want to buy a house. You don't even have the credit to help us get the loan. Causes a lot of stress in homes. One in three couples, oddly enough, wait until after marriage to talk about their finances, which is like the worst time to do that, because now you're locked in. You've got this financial ball and chain dragon.
I mean, no, the conversation has to happen eventually.
I feel like before there's an engagement.
Right.
Or like a commitment to like move in together. Something big like that. That's where there's got to be that discussion.
But I feel like we all, when we're dating somebody, we make these little assessments and you kind of go, okay, I think this person has some money. You look at the car they drive.
Right.
You probably look at their clothing. And then you think about like certain choices they're making, if they're going on trips a lot, or maybe they own some property, or I don't know. But we're making these little assessments and trying to get a picture
right.
of who this person is. But I would say that before you lock in, you should probably have that conversation. Because once you get married, their debt's your debt. Right? And I don't know if you want to...
Unless there's the prenup. The prenup put on the table. Backup plan.
That's another hard conversation to have. But surprisingly, well, I don't know if this is surprising, but this actually makes sense. It says that women are nearly three times as likely to consider credit score a major influence on their potential partner compared to men. So are you thinking, Azalea, about credit scores when you're talking to somebody?
You know, not at first, but eventually if I feel like, okay, I have an idea that this may go the long run, then yeah, you start thinking about it. Yeah. Not on the first date.
Who brings that up first? You or the person?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't even know how to navigate this.
That is a tough question, because I can't say that I brought that up very early. It did come up, but I know in my head I was making little assessments going, okay, I think she has good credit.
Hmm.
And I was actually right. Thank goodness.
Go you.
Yeah, you know.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Good morning.
The Jam Morning Show.
Good morning.
Take us anywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
If you've gotten married recently and had a wedding, did anyone at the wedding really, really get under your skin with how they acted on social media, specifically with the pictures and the sharing of your moment on their profile? You can text us at 104536 and let us know what they did. But these are some of the rules. According to Brides Online, the publication, they're saying that these are things that you should never do, etiquette mistakes if you're attending a wedding. First one is, before the wedding even happens, announcing the nuptials, as in the engagement, before the couple even does it. For example, if someone in here said, hey, we're engaged, right? And all of a sudden, one of your family members sort of goes, I want to congratulate my nephew Simone on his engagement. You haven't even posted it to your profile yet.
It would be news to me.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. It's like I think when it comes to weddings and babies, people get so overzealous with it. Like a lot of times that is not your news to spread. That is the couple's news to share. So remember, once there is an engagement, allow the couple to tell the people the good news. You don't have to be the town crier. The next one is not checking the ground rules. I didn't know that there were. Have you been to a wedding recently, Azalea? Like in the last year or so?
No, I haven't.
It looks like now every couple has ground rules on a website. So you go on the website and you put the ground rules for your wedding.
Okay.
I haven't been to a wedding in a minute. So I didn't know this was a thing, but yeah. Couples are putting on their wedding website, these are the ground rules. This is what we want. This is what we don't want. This is how we want people dressing. This is what we want people to do with their pictures. And this is what we don't want people doing the pictures.
I kind of like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Like such as, if you're going to take video, don't put the video out because we have a videographer. We have a whole professional camera crew coming here to take our moment. Mm. Don't put your corny, you know, oily camera video that you didn't even wipe your camera phone off yet video on your social media of my big day. Allow me to share it. Interesting. Didn't know that. Capturing the ceremony. A lot of people say that the ceremony, the actual vows with the officiant, whether it be a priest, rabbi, whomever, they say that section of the ceremony is way too sacred to be camera phoned out.
Yeah, you know, and it makes sense because you're going to get all these phones in your photos as well. And what are you as the guest going to do with that video?
I don't know. It's useless.
Right. You just want to post it on the gram. So I'm asking you not to.
Okay.
Just be in the moment.
This one is wild to me. Live streaming without permission. It would never occur to me at someone's wedding to go live.
Me neither. I wouldn't even go live at a concert. So I don't know.
Wild to me that people are going live at other people's weddings. Posting unflattering images. This is a tough one because sometimes people will take a photo and they'll be like, oh, she looks so pretty. And then you show her the picture and be like, what? That's not the best picture of me at all. And I mean, I've been guilty of taking a picture of someone. I took a picture of you the other day. And you were like, no, take a better picture.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't know.
You're trying to sabotage us out here.
But that's what I'm saying. So don't share photos of the couple without actually consulting them first because they might not even like the picture. And last but not least, keep the comments positive. Can you imagine putting a negative comment on someone's wedding post? Like, I don't know why someone would do that, but 2023, people do these things.
Hmm.
All right, so those are things not to do when you're a wedding guest. What was the thing that somebody did at your wedding on social media that made you go, why'd I invite you in the first place?
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
When you wake up.
Mornings on Chum 104.5.
Stand by for the wildest wedding story ever. Lillian on the line right now. So tell us what happened at this wedding. Lillian?
Hi there. Good morning.
Morning. How are you doing? Was this recent?
It was last July.
Okay, what happened?
My daughter had two weddings, actually. We had a Catholic wedding on the Saturday.
Okay.
And then on the Sunday, it was the Jewish wedding at One King West.
Got it.
So, beautiful wedding. It was amazing. Anyway, the entrance, my daughter and her husband, Mark, were coming into the, you know, the foyer or whatever you call it.
Sure.
And there was live candles on the floor. And her dress caught fire.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This was at the Jewish wedding or the Catholic wedding?
The Jewish wedding.
Was this part of a tradition or this was just part of their decor?
Well, there was candles on the floor. And I mean, normally that would never happen.
Okay,
her dress caught on fire. It was a disaster. But
the bride okay?
She was okay, yes. She was okay.
Did she have a long train on the dress or something?
Yeah, it was a beautiful dress. We got it fixed, actually. The dress, you would never even known it had happened. But what happened is she came in, she did her dance and everything, and then she got down to her seat. So we went over a hitchhiker, made sure she was okay. We were putting her dress up in the bustle, and one of her bridesmaids came down, took a picture. And then after they got married, she posted it on Instagram.
No, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly
it. But who would do that?
What? She would do it, but I don't know why she would do that. Like,
that's terrible.
I don't know why people think that these moments are theirs. It's these phones. Phones we have. Like, not everything in your phone is necessarily yours. That's not your moment. So she posted it. What was the bride's reaction?
Yeah, and my daughter pretended it never even happened. And it was when they had left, I messaged my daughter and I went, did you see that post? She went, yep. Yeah.
Are they still friends?
She's okay. The dress is beautiful now. You would never even have known it had been burnt.
Okay.
We got it fixed.
But are her and that friend, the Brian, are they still friends?
Not really.
Yeah. You see what it is? Because everybody wants these likes. And I mean, you know, on its face, it's a pretty funny post, right? And you'll get a ton of likes. Oh, my God.
Why would you do that?
I don't know why you do that. Likes at your friend's expense. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. But it was a wonderful wedding, and I love listening to you guys every day. I love it. Marilyn, yourself. It's amazing.
Oh, no doubt. Today, we are on fire today. Trust me. we're killing it today. Thank you so much. Marilyn says hi, and enjoy the rest of your day, all right? Wow. Think before we post, guys. Think before we post. Not everything has to go on the gram. Sometimes it's just the moment.
Do it.
Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Azalea Hart?
Let me know, let me know.
Bruno Mars is currently living a dream of mine and a passion project of his own, obviously. So he opened up a rum bar on the beach in Hawaii. It's at the Fairmont Orchid. So it's not really like a little rum shack on the beach, but it was inspired by him growing up in Hawaii. He used to perform at places like this, and he used to always look out in the crowd and see everybody holding these really beautiful cocktails. So think like pina coladas and Mai Tai and Blue Hawaiians, and they all have the flowers in them, and they were just gorgeous and colorful. At the time, he didn't think, oh, they're all drinking rum. He just thought, cute drinks. So now as an adult, he knows now that it's rum, and he came out with his own rum brand called Selva Ray. And now he has Selva Ray Rum Bar Pop-Up. So this place, he has 5 signature cocktails: the Mojito Royale, the Cold Bruno, the Uptown Punch, the Hollywood Colada, and the Weekend of Brunos. All of them made with his rum, obviously. And the one that he said is his favorite, which gets my mouth watering already just thinking about being in Hawaii drinking this, it is the Hollywood Colada, fresh pineapple juice, fresh coconut water, and Selva Ray coconut rum.
Sounds so good. You know, it's probably one of those things, too, when you grow up someplace, you don't realize how awesome it is until you leave and come back.
I mean, right.
You know, he didn't appreciate that wonderful life on the beaches of Hawaii he had growing up there. So now he's coming back to really, really soak it in.
He's back, and he's doing something that he always wanted to do. And this is such a passion project, he called it. And to be able to do this in your own hometown, I don't know if he's performing, but he's there.
He's there
serving up the cocktails.
He's serving drinks. Look at him.
Right. And it might be a situation where people are accustomed to him anyway.
Right.
Like, oh, there's Bruno, you know, hometown guy. And it may be a popular spot, but I don't think people are going there and harassing him. So that's what Bruno Mars is doing right now, if you are wondering if you're looking for him.
Can you imagine being from Hawaii? Like, what?
Right?
Yeah.
Just all the pineapples and what else is good in Hawaii? You were saying the food trucks.
Food trucks are awesome there. Of course, amazing surfing.
Right.
Diving, sunbathing, shopping.
And they're just happy, you know? I feel like, imagine how happy we have been with the weather this week so far.
And so, and here's another thing that a lot of people don't know about Hawaii. Hawaii has its own reggae scene. Like, they
really?
Yo, I went to Hawaii, and we're driving around, and you know, Jamaican guy, you think you know every reggae song. Like, there can't be a reggae song that plays that I don't know.
Right.
I turn on the radio, I'm hearing like this really good, like, roots, like One Drop reggae.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't know these songs. Like, what are these songs? And it's like literally Hawaiian reggae. They call it Jawaian music, like Jamaican Hawaiian music. How about
you know, that? It might make sense why Bruno Mars is so eclectic musically.
Yeah.
And he's very kind of racially ambiguous, too, when you look at him. So yeah, you're just like,
What is this guy? He's just a vibe, right?
Right. He's a whole vibe. Mm-hmm. Back here in Toronto, if you're a fan of Kim's Convenience or Strays, which is the Kim's Convenience spinoff. So those two shows, they're having a prop sale that's ongoing right now. It's going on until June 11th. So if you ever wanted to own something from that show, you can. So they have equipment, wardrobe, furniture, all from the sets. This is happening at Factory Theater, 125 Bathurst. They said they have high-end residential and office furniture, mini fridges, stoves, microwaves, lamps, kitchen and cookware, and then they also have shoes, couches, chairs, artwork, cat houses, dog and cat beds, just a bunch of things from the show. So between 50 and 75% off the original price paid by production. So if you want to go check it out today, you can, because they open at 10 a.m. and they go till 7 p.m.
Your house can become the set of Kim's Convenience.
Basically. Wow. Yeah. I'm trying to imagine what else you would buy from Kim's Convenience. Just convenience store stuff.
Right.
But that's what's trending.
I have a whole cooler in the back with drinks and stuff.
Wake me up. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Jam 104.5. Get up.
Well, we learned a lot today. We learned that you should not be taking pictures at a wedding and then posting them without the bride's permission, especially if her dress caught on fire. Right? That's not a good look.
Especially.
Especially for, like, what? Are you kidding me? And also, fly in the same cabin as your wife and kids. It just doesn't look good. I don't...
At least your wife.
At least the wife. Can you imagine that long-haul flight across the country? Then you get out looking all refreshed, and then your wife and kids are just like, oh, my...
Cramped.
Yeah, like looking, oh, we need a break. And you're like, oh, I just sat in this pod the whole time. I don't know. Sounds selfish. But anyway, hang out for a little bit more. If you missed anything today on the show, it will be online on the podcast on the iHeartRadio app. That's where you can find everything that we do. iHeartRadio.ca and on chum1045.com.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 1045. Podcast.